Hello, and welcome to the New World. Episode 1, Vinland Saga. You've probably heard by now that Christopher Columbus did not discover America. The obvious response is, of course, that for the Native Americans who had already been living there for millennia, it was not much of a discovery. However, from a European perspective, this western landmass was something entirely new. In any case, Columbus was not the first to the Americas. That was the Vikings. There are all sorts of arguments from various theorists who have reasons why the Phoenicians or the Romans or the Chinese were the first to discover the New World, and it is certainly possible that any one of them might have made it across the ocean, but pending some irrefutable evidence to the contrary, there is no doubt in the minds of historians now that it was the Norse who sailed to America before any other European. Let me begin with a brief summary of the Vikings themselves, not only because it's necessary to describe why and how the trip to Vinland occurred, but also because I'm assuming you've never taken a class on Vikings before. The term Viking means something along the lines of pirate, but we still tend to apply the term to the whole cultural group. The actual people of Scandinavia went by many names, including the Norse, Norsemen, Northmen, and more. The Vikings, we imagine, followed the traditional Norse pantheon, meaning Odin, Thor, Loki, and all those guys. This meant that in their early days of raiding, they didn't have too many religious qualms about looting undefended Christian monasteries laden with all sorts of gold and other valuables. However, by the time this story takes place, much of the Viking world was well into the process of Christianization themselves, as we shall soon see. They also had a robust sailing culture, and their longships were capable of traveling the seas around Europe and upriver as well. They made their debut in popular imagination from what we now think of as Norway, Sweden, and Denmark in the late 700s AD. By the time they made their way to Vinland a few centuries later, they had traveled throughout Europe and beyond. You see, the Norse didn't just use their longships to go raiding. They were merchants, explorers, and settlers. From the 8th to 11th century, we see Norse settlers create colonies in Iceland, Greenland, England, Ireland, France, and Russia. All of these travels allowed the descendants of poor farmers and fishermen in the fjords and islands of the north to enrich themselves with the wealth and ideas of the south. Let me give you an example of Viking culture and travel. In the Saga of the People of Laxdal, an Icelandic chieftain named Höskuld travels to Norway to buy an Irish slave girl from a Russian merchant. Just think about that. In a more isolated age of feudalism, where most common peasants were bound to their villages and sometimes rarely traveled far from their birthplace, a Northman could travel from Reykjavik to Kiev, if he could afford to. So we can see that the Norse were well-traveled seafarers who used their sea power to its fullest extent. But how do we know that they sailed to America? Well, there are two main reasons. Firstly, we found where they settled. On the far northern tip of Newfoundland, in a place we call Lons o' Meadows, which I will try not to pronounce again, is the remains of a village dated to the early 1000 AD era. And plenty of evidence shows us that there were indeed Vikings living there. Canadian archaeologists have found 8 structures built in a style similar to those on Iceland. And all throughout the settlement, things like iron materials and a whetstone show us that only people from Scandinavia could have come here. Is it the only place the Norse have settled in America? We don't know. However, it is tangible proof that they lived here, if only for a short time. My source for all of this was a report by the Canadian archaeologist Paul M. Ledger, among others, in a publication called, get this, The Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States of America. That is a mouthful. We also know that the Vikings made it to the New World because they wrote about it. There were 2 sagas, or stories, written by Icelandic chroniclers in the 13th century, which we can call Vinland Saga together. These are called the Saga of the Greenlanders and the saga of Eric the Red. Although both tell roughly the same story, there are several key differences. One big difference lies in who actually discovered America. Here's how the saga of the Greenlanders tells it. A few years after the colonization of Greenland by Eric the Red in the 980s, a man traveling to that island was blown off course and sighted new land even further to the west. If the sagas are true, then this dude, named Bjarni Herjolfsson, is the first European to set eyes on the New World. Bjarni soon realized he hadn't reached Greenland, but somewhere new. And upon finally making it to his actual destination, told Eric the Red about the lands he had found. After a few years, Eric and his son Leif set out to go explore those islands, but Eric injured his foot while mounting his horse, so he sent Leif on ahead, saying, "I'm not destined to discover any other lands than the one where we are living now." Leif took Bjarni's ship and a few dozen men, and set off to the west. However, the saga of Eric the Red tells it differently. It says that after being converted to Christianity by the king of Norway, Olaf Tryggvason, Leif was blown off course on his way to Greenland to Christianize the whole island. He then landed in America, explored for a bit, and loaded his ship up with local goods before leaving for Greenland and completing his Christianizing mission, earning himself the moniker of Leif the Lucky. Bjarni makes no appearance, but both tales feature Leif the Lucky rescuing shipwrecked Vikings on his way back to Greenland. It's difficult to know which of these stories to believe, but personally, the story about Leif discovering a new continent and converting his people to a new religion all in one trip sounds a little too good to be true for me. Three supposed islands were found by Leif Erikson, all named after the things that these Norsemen saw while exploring. Helluland, the land of flat stones, Markland, the land of forests, and Vinland, the land of wine or vines. Modern scholars tend to think that Helluland is referring to Baffin Island, which is to the north of Labrador on the Canadian mainland. Now, Labrador is supposedly what Leif mistook for the island of Markland, and even further to the south, the land, island, that is, of Newfoundland, is Vinland proper, although we tend to refer to all of these North American territories as Vinland together. Leif then created an encampment on Vinland and spent the winter there before sailing home for Greenland. We can assume that this colony is the same one that was excavated in Newfoundland so recently. Here's the thing about Vinland saga that's troubling, though. We don't know to what extent it's true. The sagas themselves were written in Iceland some 2 centuries after the events depicted. It may be that Bjarni Herjolfsson and Leif Erikson are fictional characters, or at the very least are quite different from their real-life counterparts. This is a problem with many Viking sagas. Since we don't have anyone alive at the time to corroborate the story, it's a little difficult to say with absolute certainty that these stories happened exactly as told. The only thing we can rely on fully is what we can find archaeologically. But luckily, in this case, we have 2 different accounts telling the same story, so we can sort of pick and choose elements from both to decide what sounds the most realistic. Let's go back to Leif Erikson. Is it possible that he was a Christian, as the saga of Eric the Red claims? Why, yes, certainly. I couldn't find any explicit mention of Leif's religion in the saga of the Greenlanders, but judging by the very recent conversion of Norway and Iceland, and the imminent conversion of Greenland, and the fact that later Vinland settlers were Christians, even according to the Greenlanders saga, it's not too far-fetched to assume that Leif Erikson was at least a little bit familiar with Jesus. We'll talk about more saga comparisons later. So, the Vikings make it to America. But obviously, Vinland doesn't show up on any maps today, so how long did they stick around? Well, the sagas continued after Leif Erikson completed his voyage. Sometime later, his brother Torvald bought the same boat that Bjarni and Leif had used and returned to Vinland, staying in the camp that Leif had founded while exploring the island. Eventually, he came across 3 canoes laying on a beach. Under each canoe were three sleeping men, who definitely weren't Norse. Torvald and his men, in a move that would prove to be a dark omen of things to come, killed eight of the native men on sight. The last survivor ran for his life. Letting him go would prove to be a mistake, because after a little while, many more canoes arrived, this time filled with very awake and very angry men. In the ensuing chaos, Torvald Eriksson was hit with an arrow and died. His surviving crew fled back to Greenland without his body, but with tales of the angry inhabitants of Vinland they called the Skraelings, a word that means wretch or ugly or barbarian. Already, European-American relations were off to a bad start. These Skraelings were already hostile to Norse settlement before it had even begun. Just as a quick side note, it's thought that the Skraelings were really either Algonquin, as in natives of what we might consider New England, or ancestors of the modern Inuit peoples known as the Thule, who will move to and populate Greenland later on. After a failed and fatal attempt by Torvald's brother Torstein to find his body, a different man named Thorfinn Karlsefni, aka Thorfinn the Valiant, set out to Vinland with the express intention to colonize the island properly. The exact number of settlers varies between sources, but it was at least in the dozens, if not hundreds of people, both men and women, and some livestock. After a winter spent setting up shop at the site where Leif Erikson had first camped, the Skraelings appeared. Things didn't go very well at first, as the Skraelings were apparently terrified of the settler's bull, which was something they'd never seen the likes of before, which roared at them and sent them running. But slowly and silently, the two people came together. No one understood the other's language, so an attempt was made at trading. The Skraelings wanted the Vikings' weapons, which were of course made of iron, but Thorfinn forbade it. Instead, they offered cow's milk, which the Skraelings seemed extremely interested in the moment they saw it. In return, they provided skins and pelts. So the first true meeting between Americans and Europeans concluded peacefully, and both sides presumably went home happy. It was just after this that Thorfinn's wife Gudrid gave birth to a boy, Snorri, the first European immigrant born in America. Gudrid herself is an extremely interesting woman, by the way. She used to be married to Thorstein Eriksson, the one who died trying to find his brother's body. But when he died, she returned to Greenland and met Thorfinn, who she married and proposed the expedition to. She'd later become a nun and travel all the way to Rome on a pilgrimage. A year later, the Skraelings came back to trade. This time, there were many more of them. Apparently, word had spread of these strange people and the goods they could offer. Things went just as well as last time. Until, that is, one of the Vikings killed a Skraeling for trying to steal his axe. With the death of this native, any tenuous peace that might have existed instantly broke. Everyone dispersed, knowing that the Skraelings were bound to try and exact revenge, and both sides prepared for an inevitable battle. A while later, that fight came. The saga of Eric the Red shows it as a bit of a bombastic affair. Freydis, the extremely pregnant, at that time, half-sister of Leif Erikson, picks up a sword from a dead body and heads into the fight with a battle cry, scaring the natives and rallying the wavering Viking warriors to win the battle. The Greenlander saga is surprisingly just as crazy. It says that many people on both sides were killed, but it ended in a very strange way. A tall man, that Thorfinn concluded was the leader, picked up an axe that had been dropped on the ground, presumably like the one this whole conflict had been started over. He brandished it and drove it into the skull of one of his own men, who fell over dead. The big man then picked up the axe again, inspected it, and threw it as far as he could into the water. The Skraelings then retreated back into the forest, and the battle was over. Not long after this, Thorfinn the Valiant decided that he no longer wanted to live in Vinland. And the following spring, he and Gudrid and Snorri returned to Greenland, presumably The colony didn't last much longer after that. The Greenlander saga shows us one last attempt at settlement, which saw Freydis, daughter of Erik the Red, personally killing several of her compatriots over a disagreement, and then leaving. Erik the Red's saga ends with the attack on Torfinn's colony, and makes no mention of Freydis' murdering. Yet again, we see different stories with similar elements. Both included an attempted settlement by Torfinn, a battle with Skraelings after a failed attempt at trade, and even the birth of Snorri in Vinland. Therefore, let's assume that the main points are true and the details are up for interpretation. Whether it was the last attack by the Skraelings or the murdering by Freydis, that was pretty much the last major attempt by the Vikings to colonize the island. While Leif Erikson had noted that Vinland was much warmer and sunnier than most places he'd been to, the harsh resistance to settlement by the Skraelings and the general lack of anything incredibly interesting seemed to keep the Erikson clan from leading any further expeditions to the west. Presumably, various trips were made by traders or other interested Northmen, but nothing of note. It's most likely that other Vikings went to Markland, the land of forests, to get some of those trees for their own needs. The furthest extent of Viking exploration is unclear. A Viking coin from the 1080s was found in Maine. Claims have been made that Vikings made it to Cape Cod, or the St. Lawrence River, or Manhattan, or even the Chesapeake Bay. Supposed runestones have been found far west as Minnesota and Oklahoma. Obviously, most of these claims are false, but one fact gives historians a reason to continue to be skeptical. The best evidence that the Vikings traveled further south than Newfoundland actually lies in Llanso Meadows itself. Evidence like iron rivets that probably were used for boat repair, and nuts that weren't native to Newfoundland, or at least very rare in Newfoundland, suggests that Llanso Meadows might have acted as a way station for trips down the coast. Like I said, though, the settlement was probably abandoned by 1050 AD, so who knows how many trips were taken, or how far. Leif Erikson named Vinland because he saw many wild vines growing wine-worthy grapes. Newfoundland, the place where Vinland is widely accepted to be, does not have any such vines. Supposedly, a 16th century explorer, Jacques Cartier, found vines growing on Prince Edward Island, which was not far from there, but none would grow on Newfoundland during the Viking Age. In his book, The Vikings and History, F. Donald Logan theorizes that the Vikings were instead talking about the large variety of wild berries on the island, many of which could have been used by the Northmen to make wine, as they sometimes did in Scandinavia. Nevertheless, it's a fun idea to think of the Boston Vikings. Maybe we'll see them when the football team moves out of Minnesota. In any case, the archaeological evidence from the one settlement we have found in Newfoundland states that the Vikings didn't stay long. By the year 1100 at the very latest, the camp that Leif Erikson had founded and Thorfinn the Valiant had defended was probably abandoned. Greenland and Iceland were never particularly populous or attractive places for people to move and set up shop, even by the time Vinland was being colonized. The process of hopping from Norway to Iceland to Greenland to Vinland stretched out the supply lines of any would-be Northmen traveler, and it would be hard to find large numbers of people sitting around in Norse harbors ready to leave the homes that they already had to go across the ocean and perhaps get killed instantly. Even some climate change was occurring that made the Arctic waters frozen for most of the year. Add to that the fact that locals seemed universally hostile to outside settlement, and we have our reason for why the Vikings didn't stay around. With the later attempts by Europe 500 years later, we see large-scale operations by more centralized and efficient states targeting very habitable areas of settlement, with the promise of excellent materials like gold or sugar. We just don't see that with the Vikings. Over time, even the population of Greenland would wane considerably, and by the 1500s, only the proto-Inuit natives the Vikings had called barbarians would be the only ones living on that island. I want to wrap things up by quoting the earliest known reference to Vinland, actually. Adam of Bremen, a German chronicler, visited the king of Denmark, who told him about this newly discovered land. He said this. He spoke also of yet another island of the many found in that ocean. It is called Vinland, because vines producing excellent wine grow wild there. That unsown crops also abound on the island, we have ascertained, not from fabulous reports, but from the trustworthy relation of the Danes. Beyond that island, he said, no habitable land is found in that ocean, but every place beyond it is full of impenetrable ice and intense darkness. Which just kind of sounds like regular old Canada. Even at our earliest mention of Vinland's existence, we hear that it's not necessarily a great place to be. Not only that, nothing else lies beyond it. If the Vikings, the Northmen who raided and sailed all over Europe, couldn't live there for longer than a few decades, why would the King of France or the King of England make an attempt? This is what Adam of Bremen is more or less trying to tell us. But of course, he didn't know how wrong he was.